Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Boomtown by Lonnie Lynn Vale. Narrated by Stephanie Rose and Mason Lloyd. Chapter 1. Cheyenne. God, could my week get any worse? I just turned 20 fucking 5, and I'm still a virgin. No celebration for my birthday. No one here to unwind with. No freaking career. Just a shit job with even shittier pay. I was really getting into my pity party. I almost turned on the waterworks. I turned 25 today, and everyone was gone. My brother was in Iraq. My mom was in Kentucky doing the last day of her 3-month-long travel nursing contract. And my best friend in the whole wide world was at a conference in Chicago. Deciding enough was enough, I made a split-second decision and decided to celebrate by myself. Time to go to Deacon's. I put on my best jeans, the ones that make my ass look a lot smaller than it really is. Then a push-up bra that makes me look like I have a solid B cup when, in actuality, I'm barely an A. Throwing on a black ribbed tank with a skull and crossbones, I dug into the closet for my better pair of cowboy boots and shoved my feet into them. I glued up my hair and dried it with the diffuser, adding a few stray bobby pins to keep it out of my face. I swiped on some mascara, a layer of lip gloss, and headed out. I jumped in my 1987 single-cab long-bed Chevy Silverado and drove to Deacon's. Deacon's isn't my usual hangout. Really, I don't go out at all. I don't have time. I parked my truck and headed into the building. I walked straight to the bar and ordered a Corona. Taking a seat, I contemplated my life. I ignored everyone and everything and sat on my stool, nursing my beer.
Sam. I needed a break from reality today. I needed to get away from the shop. I needed to get away from the reminder that I was a failure. We lost one today. She was on her way to Free, our organization that helps abused women. She was possibly only minutes away, but her father caught and killed her before she could get to us. The team was as disappointed as I was. We all dealt with it differently. Tonight was a whiskey kind of night. I was on my second glass when she walked in. She had on jeans that hugged her ass, thighs, and legs perfectly. They were the kind that looked like they had been worn a million times before. She wore a tank top that had a skull and crossbones across her breasts that drew eyes to them. They were on the smaller side for my usual tastes, but they would fit into my hands perfectly. She had long, curly blonde hair that just brushed the top of her ass. It would be perfect to sink my hands into and hold while I pounded her from behind. I had only seen her for all of 30 seconds, but I knew she would be mine. She walked into the bar like she owned the place, sat down on one of the stools toward the end, and nursed the beer without acknowledging anyone. I don't pick women up in bars, but she seemed different, possibly because she didn't seem like the type of woman to even be in a bar. That or because she ignored every man except the bartender. She seemed to put off a vibe that said, "hands off," and it kept all the men at a distance. The bartender placed her beer in front of her, and she chugged it better than any man could. She placed the bottle down on the bar top and stared at the label, picking at it with blunt fingernails. The women I'm normally attracted to have perfect nails, perfect hair, and wear dresses. Their bodies are tight, with little fat to be seen on them. This woman had on nice clothes, but it didn't look like she dressed to impress. It looked like she dressed for comfort, and I liked that. She also didn't look like she got expensive manicures every day. Her body looked soft, like she ate what she wanted and didn't give a shit what other people thought. I got up, walked across the bar, and took a seat next to her. She never even looked up. It made my lips twitch as I glanced at the bartender, gave him a nod in her direction, and raised my finger for one more. He gave me a nod and placed the beer in front of her.
Cheyenne. I saw someone take a seat next to me in my peripheral vision, but made no move to acknowledge whoever it was. Another beer was given to me from the bartender. I looked up at him and raised my brow at him questioningly. I hadn't ordered a second beer. He tilted his head to the left. I glanced that way and saw a massive shoulder trump the majority of my view. It was covered in a skin-tight, black cotton t-shirt that looked like it had been washed quite a bit, but still held its black color without being faded. I followed the shoulder down to his forearms, which were very tanned, and studied a ranger's tattoo that dominated most of the inside of his forearm. It was very good work, and looked a lot like one that my brother had. I glanced at his hands and wondered if the saying was true. Big hands, big feet? Eyes trailing to his thigh where his hand rested. I had a stray thought that his thighs could probably be described as tree trunk-like. They were massive. I wondered how much he could squat. By the looks of it, probably a small car. Looking up, my eyes roamed over a very well-defined chest, which even in the dim lighting, I could tell that he probably sported a six-pack, if not an eight. He had a massive chest, and his shoulders were very broad. His neck was corded and thick, which made me want to lick from his collarbone to his jaw, and I hadn't even seen his face yet. Finally, allowing my eyes to connect to his face, I noticed he could be described as beautiful. Except for a jagged scar that ran under his right eye, where the football players wear that black stripe of paint under their eyes. That had to hurt like a mother. His nose was straight, lips were full, and his eyes were beautiful. The color of a new shiny penny. Those copper-colored eyes were pinning mine to his, refusing to release them. My breath hitched, and I quietly said, "Thank you." He nodded and smiled, then turned back toward the bar and didn't say a thing. Deciding not to be a total boob, I turned also and started sipping on my second beer. "Thank you, Mr. Humungo." A while later, I heard his empty hit the counter, which caused me to look up at him in time to see and hear him say, "Let's go." Damned if my ass didn't slip off the bar stool and follow him out of the bar. What the hell was I doing? I couldn't do this. I didn't do this. I am not a whore. Okay, I'm not in the habit of lying to myself. I'd be a whore for him. He led me to a pure midnight black Harley. It was massive. I couldn't really tell you any more about it. My expertise was limited to Harley and black, and I knew that part because Harley was written on the side, and the black part because I've known my colors since I was two. Now, if he'd taken me out to a truck, I could tell you the year, make, model, and tire size. If you started it up, I could tell you what kind of motor was in it, as well as if there were any adjustments that were made to it aftermarket. I could be sitting outside, and a car would pass by, and I could tell you exactly what type of engine that was in it without even seeing the type of car it was. It drove my best friend, Ember, crazy, listening to me talk about cars. My brother, James, taught me everything he knew from working at Bob's Auto. He worked there for 4 years before he went to basic training, and each day he would come home and show me everything he learned or had done that day. We worked on his Charger. Then, later, when I turned 16, we started on my Chevy. The man straddled the bike and held his hand out for me. I held my breath and grabbed his hand. His grip was strong and steady as I lifted my leg and slid into place behind him. My breath whooshed out as our bodies came into contact, groin to chest. Oh my God. He handed me a helmet, and I put it on. He started the bike with a quick flick of his leg and revved it up. The noise startled me at first. I wasn't ready for the deafening sound. It was so loud that my body seemed to vibrate. I felt the vibrations from deep in my lower abdomen, all the way up to my hair. He reached around my back, grabbed my ass, and scooted me closer so that I was plastered to his body. My groin was smack up against his ass. The vibration unintentionally rubbed my lady bits against his rough, denim-covered, lickable behind. My chest and belly were as close as I could get to his back. He grabbed my arms and wrapped them around his lower stomach so that I had my left hand grabbing onto my right wrist, just above his belt. If I thought about it, all I had to do was move my hand slightly, and I would be palming him through his jeans. He throttled up, and we were off, out of the parking lot like lightning in a storm. I happened to look to my left and noticed a man smoking, leaning against his car, tracking us with his head. I locked eyes with him when we passed, and a shiver ran through me when I saw the coldness in his eyes. I didn't worry about this for long, though, because the bike took a corner, and my mind reminded me, at that moment, that I had to hang on and pay attention, or my body would be visiting the pavement. The ride itself was pure torture. All I could think about was him pulling over and whipping me around to straddle his thighs, ripping a hole in my jeans, and thrusting into me until we both came. After I had this thought, I let my hands unlock and lay flat on his rock-hard stomach. His abs tensed underneath my hands and relaxed just as suddenly. As he drove downtown and pulled onto 2nd Street, he turned into a driveway that led us up to some place that looked almost like a compound, with a fence surrounding it. This looked somewhat familiar, but my brain was stuck in overdrive. I'd been paying more attention to how his body felt against mine, rather than where we'd driven. He punched in a code on the gate, and it slid open with a rattle. Bypassing the front of the building, he accelerated around the garage and parked outside another part of the building you couldn't see from the road. Grabbing my hand to help me off, he led me inside what looked like a small duplex. He dropped the keys in a glass bowl on the entryway table and had me pinned against the door before I could take my next breath. His mouth was on mine in the next instant. It was like sticking my tongue to a live wire. He dominated my mouth, devoured it like I was the last piece of cake left in a room full of starving hormonal pregnant women. I've kissed a few guys, but nothing I've ever experienced could even compare to this. Pushing on his chest a little, he separated from me long enough that I could grab a hold of the bottom of my tank and yank it up and over my head. Tossing it to the floor, I launched myself back at him, fusing my mouth back to his. His shirt was ripped from between us, and I moved back long enough for him to pull the fabric over his head. I heard a clinking noise and noticed that he had dog tags that had been hidden beneath his shirt. I'd noticed the ranger tattoo earlier. Was he in the army still? That thought didn't last long, because he picked me up by my ass and wrapped my legs around his waist. His left arm went around my lower back as his right slid down the back of my jeans to brush against my core. His indrawn breath stole the oxygen from my lungs when his fingers found my wetness. It was then I started to get nervous. From what I could feel, he was massive. Even thinking this, my body couldn't stop itself from rocking against his erection. He pulled his hand out of my pants and slowly brought his fingers to his mouth and licked them clean, maintaining eye contact with me the entire time. Oh my God. His arm returned around my back, while the other wound around my butt, and he headed into the direction of what I was assuming was the bedroom. While doing this, he rid me of my bra. I rubbed my distended nipples against his lightly haired chest. The abrasion of his chest hair on my nipples sent another shock through my core and made me gasp into his mouth. He laid me down on the bed and followed me down. His head descended and latched onto my nipple, devouring it like he was licking every last drop of brownie batter off a spatula, only to repeat it on the opposite side. By the time he was through, he had me squirming and begging for him with unintelligible sounds. He sat up, and I found myself without pants or panties in 0.5 seconds. Damn, he was fast. Before I could blink again, he divested himself of his own pants. He wore no underwear, which meant he'd gone commando. His penis? There are no words. Before I could get my mind under control, he was on me. He settled himself between my thighs, which I opened for him without thought. He slowly rocked his hips and covered himself in the wetness that leaked from my core. He ran his hands lightly up my sides toward my arms to grab my hands and pin them above my head, transferring them to one of his. He lifted his head and looked into my eyes when he lined his shaft up with my slick heat, using his free hand. Holding eye contact, he slowly pushed in. My eyes widened when he started filling me up, and I realized he really was massive. My eyes started to water when the stretch became a burn. He suddenly stopped, and his eyes bore into me. Questions loomed there that I did not want to answer right now. I knew he was going to stop, and I took matters into my own hands. Or legs, if you wanted to be technical. By wrapping them around him and yanking him forward, so he pushed past my hymen. I didn't experience the knife slice of pain like they always describe in my romance novels. Yes, it was uncomfortable, but it was nothing that I couldn't handle. Eyes widening slightly, I saw his lips part, but he didn't stop me. Once I became accustomed to his size, he slowly started to forge the rest of the way inside. His eyes never left mine as he slowly rocked his hips back and forth. He bottomed out and bumped my cervix with the crown of his cock, igniting a slow burn inside of me. "Harder," I whispered, and his control seemed to snap. Leaning up, he pulled me to the edge of the bed, my butt teetering on the edge of the mattress, maneuvering my body so he could enter me while he was standing. With each of my legs settled into the crook of his elbows, he started pounding into me with brutal plunges. My breasts bounced up and down with each lunge. I craved each rough thrust he gave me. His eyes were pinned to where our bodies connected. His breathing seemed to start coming in hard pants. But I lost sight of him when a sensation started building in my core, slowly building higher and higher until it finally burst. Each of his strokes prolonged my orgasm until I could no longer draw breath. My whole body locked, back bowed. Distantly, I was aware of Mr. Humongo thrusting forward and holding himself as deep as he could get inside of me while he growled out his release. I felt hot spurts of his cum hit the entrance to my womb, and it seemed to gulp it up with greedy pulls. Collapsing on top of me, both of us lay panting, exhausted. Finally coming back to myself, I let all my limbs fall to the bed and took a deep, contented breath. Mr. Humongo pulled out slowly, and I felt a wetness trickle out of me and onto the bed. He grabbed me under the arms and positioned my back to his front, and did a little hop to get the comforter out from under us, and covered us both. "Cheyenne," I whispered to him, and closed my eyes. I felt him smile against my hair, as he said in a gruff voice,
"Sam."
That was the last thing we said to each other, before we both drifted off to sleep.
Sam. My eyes popped open with a snap. The sleep instantly cleared from my system as I took in my surroundings. A warm body was plastered to my front. My hand rested on a perfect handful of breast. Cheyenne. Her sweet chocolate scent filled my nose and made my cock half hard. She was a virgin. She didn't act like one. If I would have known she was a virgin, I wouldn't have made the first move. Now, however, I would kick any man's ass that came near her. She was mine, and whether she knew it yet or not, she would be forever. No woman that's waited as long as she did would give it up for just anybody. That person would have to be special, and apparently she felt the connection just like I did. I still couldn't believe I'd fallen asleep. Normally I could go all night, but after I'd come, there was just nothing left in me to stay awake. She drained every last drop out of me with her tight, wet heat and her soft, sweet kisses. Just thinking about her had me getting hard. I knew she was probably sore, but with her butt nestled into my groin and moving occasionally against my cock, I had to have her again. I let my hand drift down her body, cupping her breast, then lower to her mouth. I repeated the process until she stirred.
Cheyenne. I awoke to a large hand drifting from my neck, down my chest, between my breasts, and down my belly, to slowly slide between my legs. It then turned and grabbed my thigh, lifting it back and over the thigh that belonged to the hand. Finally waking up enough, I realized where I was and who was doing all the touching. Sam. Sam's hand returned between my thighs and cupped my sex. In a sleep-roughened voice, he asked,
"Sore?"
"No," I lied. I was sore, but I wasn't sore enough to deny myself Sam again. He slowly slipped one finger in my weeping core and buried it up to the webbing of his fingers. My breath hitched, and I let out a low moan as pain and pleasure collided inside of me. His finger did several in-and-out maneuvers until finally his hand fell away, and I felt him take hold of his cock and position it at my entrance. He pressed lightly on my hips with his hand, and I rocked back against him until he was buried to the hilt, deep inside me. I felt so full, the feeling compared to nothing I'd ever experienced before. He took control then, and slowly rocked his hips forward and back. I reached my hand back, buried my fingers into his hair, and pulled. He growled, and his thrusts became deeper. His hand traveled up my body and cupped my breast in his hand. His whole hand seemed to dwarf my small breast, but that didn't seem to bother him. He rolled my nipple back and forth between his thumb and finger, pinching lightly. I had the urge to tell him to pinch harder, but held my tongue, unsure of how he'd take me asking him to be rougher. I got closer and closer to the pinnacle, but I felt like I needed something. I hesitated, unsure of what I was trying to say. Rolling us both, I ended up on my stomach while he went up to his knees behind me. He then yanked my knees up under me and pushed his hand between my shoulder blades to keep them from rising off the mattress. He buried his fingers in my hair and tugged back slightly, just enough that I felt a hint of pain. Finally, in the desired position, he went to town. He pulled all the way out so his cock was just kissing my entrance. Then, with a brutal thrust, he buried himself in me, bottoming out when he hit my cervix. "Don't stop," I begged when he hesitated for a second.
"Honey, I won't stop until your legs are shaking and the neighbors know my name," he said,
and then started again with deep thrust after deep thrust. This seemed to be what I needed. My orgasm rushed up on me so suddenly that I let out a high-pitched wail and exploded. My muscles clamped down on his cock so hard, they forced him out of my vagina. But he was not deterred. He forged ahead again and rode me until his own orgasm burst forth, and I felt his cum jet out in spurts against my cervix. My knees gave out, and he collapsed on top of me. Both of us were breathing hard, breath sawing in and out of our lungs like we'd just run a sprint relay, which was surprising since Sam was absolute perfection in the body department. I knew Sam was in excellent shape just by looking at his physique. It wasn't the type of body you got by lifting weights. No, his body was one from demanding physical labor. His arms looked like they could bench press 3 of me. Not that I would tell him how much 3 of me weigh.
"I forgot to say your name," I said, still panting.
"That's okay. Your wail burst my eardrums,"
he soothed, patting my ass lightly. He slowly lifted his body up and slid out of me in one motion. Wetness again trickled out of my opening to run through the hair covering my mound, before settling on the sheets below me. I haven't really thought of the aspects of sex before, but I never thought it would be so messy. The only experience that I had was with romance novels. Not once did they talk about the body fluids afterward. He threw himself to the side and mumbled,
"Fuck,"
grabbing me and pulling me half on top of him, with my head resting on his shoulder and my leg hitched up over his. We fell into a companionable silence as we recovered. My hand rested on his 16-pack. I trailed my hand lower, tracing the V of his lower abdominals. My mind decided that now should be the time that I say what needed to be said. "That was wonderful. Let's do it again," is what I had intended to say. But what came out was, "I'm not a whore."
"Yeah, I got that. You were a virgin. Kind of hard to be a whore when you're a virgin. Plus, if I'd thought you were, I would have never asked you to get on the back of my bike."
Damn, he sure did kill that worry.
"I have to ride out in an hour. We need to get dressed so I can drop you off at your car before I leave,"
he whispered into my hair. He caressed my hair one last time, and then gave me an ass slap, as if saying, "Okay,
time to get up. Trying not to be offended that he was kicking me out, I rolled to my back, out of the bed, and walked to what I assumed was the bathroom. Yep, it was the bathroom. It had a clawfoot stainless steel tub that was to die for. The countertops were also stainless steel. Guess that was his favorite color. The bath towels were a navy blue and worked well for the space. Get on with it, bitch, I said to myself when I opened the door wider. I walked in and did my business, trying hard not to think about the fact that the wetness between my legs meant I forgot something important. I washed my hands and face at the sink and studied my surroundings. I decided to be nosy and opened his medicine cabinet and looked inside. There was a razor, shaving cream, some band-aids, ibuprofen, and a prescription for sleeping pills. Everything was lined up in perfect little rows according to size, and my messy self couldn't stand it. So I messed it all up and moved it around. Obviously, he was anal about order, and it made me laugh aloud when I thought about him coming in here and seeing the mess that I made. Finished in the bathroom, I walked back into the bedroom to find my clothes piled at the end of the bed. I slipped my bra and panties on, then my jeans and tank. I put on my boots and headed out to the kitchen where he had coffee waiting. I declined the offer when he nodded at the pot. I glanced at his appliances and noticed that those were stainless steel as well. Jesus, even the countertops in here were the same. No thanks, I don't do coffee. It makes me hyper, I supplied as an explanation. He cracked a half smile and motioned for me to head out. Apparently, he was a man of few words. So that's what I did. I headed for the front door. At least his living room looked a little homier. He had a micro suede sectional couch that looked extremely comfortable. There was a huge flat screen mounted to the wall with a satellite receiver and an Xbox console on a shelf underneath it. I walked in front of him out the door and to his bike. He got on and offered his hand, just as he did the night before. I took it and settled myself, plastered up against him, without having to be prompted. I glanced around the area, noticing other bikes parked outside doors as well. One had a red Toyota Corolla, but other than that, it was dominated by motorcycles. What is this place? I asked him.
Compound, he said.
I waited for more, but it never came, so I asked him another question. Compound for what? I questioned.
For my men, he quipped.
Like what? The guys who work for you? I continued.
Yeah,
he said.
Like that.
He started the bike with a roar and shot forward, making me squeal in surprise and elation. My arms wound around his waist and squeezed tight. He chuckled and patted my thigh. It was like one of those roller coasters that makes your belly feel like it was dropping right before a big hill. I always thought motorcycles were unsafe, but came to a quick realization that Sam was in complete control of this powerful bike. He was vigilant, looking for other drivers. His eyes took in everything around him. He switched lanes when he noticed a car that didn't see us. He anticipated absolutely everything. The drive to my truck was freeing. Although the motorcycle helmet obstructed some of my view, I enjoyed seeing my little town without the confines of a vehicle. The morning felt unusually cool, with the wind ripping past us. My hair was flying out all around me from the edges of the helmet, and would most likely be a rat's nest by the time I got to the truck. I rounded my shoulders a bit and leaned a little more into Sam, hoping he would block some of the chilly wind. Noticing this, at the next stop, he leaned forward and took off his leather jacket, handing it to me without a word. Obviously, the man missed nothing. I slipped my arms into it and relished the heat that instantly surrounded me. Feeling better now, I looked around thinking that maybe it would be nice to go on a long road trip to see the sights. Finally, we arrived at my truck, and he pulled up along the passenger's side. He held his hand out as if motioning for me to get off, so that's what I did. Thinking that was a nice brush off, I shrugged off his jacket, tossed it to him, and turned and started to round my truck when he looped a finger through my belt loop and yanked me so that I landed in his lap. His hands shot out and up and buried in my hair as his mouth connected with mine. Moaning into his mouth, he finally let me go and helped me stand. My legs felt
Sample complete. Ready to continue?